Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. The show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that will provide you with the process for getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. The only way we're going to be able to do that is getting the states to enforce the Constitution. They have the authority. They have all the power they need vested in them in the Constitution, and therefore tuning in here and getting the word out is the best process in helping educate people so that they can understand that the states possess all the power necessary. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. I have some more tidbits and facts out of the Virginia ratification debate, very specifically regarding the guarantee clause. And so I've got a few different quotations that I want to read to you later, but I promised yesterday that I would get back into this this little bit of news that is coming up regarding Google. But before I do that, let me let you know, and those who are interested, who want to help, who want to get involved, one way you can do that, if you don't have any other means other than, you know, financially, you can provide some financial assistance by going to our crowdfunding setup or campaign, which is on GoFundMe, and just look for the Reclaiming the Republic campaign. If you actually go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on the homepage is a link to that campaign. And so if you go to Mobius Strip Press on Facebook, it'll be at the top. It's pinned to the top. You can find the campaign there as well. Another way you can help, for those of you who, you know, actually want to get involved and do something and actually want to contribute more than just financially, we do have ways, but you just need to email me, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will be able to get you started in doing some research, give you some of the information you really need up front so that you can actually start building a fulcrum for your state and start, help me and the rest of us actually start creating leverage within your state. So all you need to do is, if you have a computer, you've got some basic computer skills, literacy, or what have you, you got a little bit of software, you know, word processing, spreadsheet, that type of stuff, then you can help. You actually can help. So again, the way to reach out would be info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and that would be via email. Another thing you can do is you can also go to theconstitutionclub.ning.com and join that, because they're going to be focusing on sending out emailers to several states and several state legislators coming up in the 2019 session. In doing so, then Keith Broders and you and all of those who are a part of the Constitution Club will actually be able to start articulating and communicating what is necessary to actually get the 17th Amendment rescinded so that we can actually get back to a Republican form of government and a true bicameral legislative body in our Congress, so that the states are literally appointing their senators. We can do this. We can actually get back to that configuration of Congress where we no longer directly elect. And we, in doing this, folks, if we can actually rescind the 17th Amendment, we will literally be draining almost half the swamp, because the Senate is engulfed in the swamp because those who pay the piper call the tune. Most of those people that are in the Senate are literally held accountable and are doing nothing but favors for the globalists who are buying them. That's why those races are so expensive. And that's why the preponderance of the money that goes into keeping those senators in office or trying to get the ones who are not a part of that, like probably Mike Lee, the reason that there's millions and millions of dollars is because that is where the globalists are buying their influence. Now, I want to tell you, I always do this, and I looked and I scanned the news, and there is no news that the federal government is actually disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so what that means is that you and I are literally going to have to get engaged. We're going to have to get the states to step up. This isn't an impossible task. This is something that we can literally do. It's just a matter of applying a little bit of effort. It'll take a little bit of time. I had an interesting conversation last night with a gentleman who is a constitutional warrior who has been involved in a lot of different things. And I'm amazed that there's all these patriots out there and how we're getting connected. But I kind of explained to this gentleman that we don't necessarily need to educate everybody. If we target the critical people, if you think about it, when Britain was oppressing the people and the people were, clamoring, obviously you didn't need to necessarily educate the people, but Britain wasn't levying their tyranny on all levels down to all the states. There were certain states that were obviously feeling it worse, such as Massachusetts. Virginia was beginning to feel it, and almost all of the state legislators were feeling it because they were all dismissed. That's why they set up committees of correspondence to start communicating. They were pretty much recognizing the fact that tyranny was coming down the pike. So what they did was they actually acted. They didn't try to go out and educate the electorate and say, okay, this is what's going to happen. See, they're going to start displacing us. They're going to start dividing us. And they're going to literally isolate us. And they're going to get rid of those of us who are literally opposing them. And they will thwart any opportunity of a revolution that we have if we allow them to do this. They didn't go out and do that. They didn't go out and create, some educational society and say, we're going to teach people how to react and all of that. What they did was they acted. They led. They actually stepped in and they said, this is wrong. We are the representatives of the people. We need to do something. And so they formed a Continental Congress. And from there, it was history. We literally declared independence and declared war. And you know the rest of the story. So that's what we're going to have to do. If we're not going to see them, and I'm telling you, folks, they're not going to give up any of their powers. They've got these powers, as far as they're concerned, dead, square, where they want them, and they are going to maintain them, and they're going to take more powers because they're going to take whatever powers they please. That's what they've been doing. So the day's coming when they're going to stand up a department of babysitting. This is an integral department that will actually ensure that parents cannot put Christian dogma into their children's head before that child gets into their school system so that they can indoctrinate our children. Because technically, our children are not ours. Our children are the state's. That's the direction they want to take us, and that's where they want to own us. So next week, I've been telling you this. All next week, I've got some really good interviews stacked up. I'm going to have Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, Aaron Tilbury, Keith Broders, Mark Urbach, and who knows, I might have a couple of other people that might be able to lend some really good, insightful information on what the heck's going on. And so make sure you tune in next week. We will, like I said, we will be having Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, Aaron Tilbury, Keith Broders, and Mark Urbach. So with that, let me kind of get into, and I can see I'm almost out of time again. As you know, the tech companies are starting to wield an iron fist, and they're trying to literally stamp out any type of alternative thought. They consider it hate speech. And so funny, you know, what is hate speech? Well, if you tell somebody that they're sinning, that, you know, if you're committing adultery, if you're engaged in a homosexual affair, on and on and on, those are sins, folks. And if you tell somebody they're sinning, then that's hate speech, because you're hurting their feelings. You're telling them that they're doing something wrong, that the society and our secular, godless society, very specifically, is telling them they can do anything that makes them feel good. And so they want to make sure that they are protected so that they can continue to do what makes them feel good, instead of you putting pressure on them and making them feel bad and giving them a low self-esteem. So that's why Apple is starting to come out, and all these other platforms are targeting people on what they call hate speech. As far as I'm concerned, you know, you're entitled to get offended, and we kind of grew up, at least many of us grew up, you probably heard it before, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Well, we're at that point where, you know, words mean everything to people, and we basically have, bred the backbone out of our society, because people don't have backbones anymore. And people can't stand up on their own two feet and basically, you know, take command of their own lives and take responsibility for their own lives. But as you can tell, I'm at a break. So when I get back, I'm going to actually get into this story regarding this newly elected Republican senator in Mississippi. His name's Josh Hawley. And I'm going to tell you about what he's looking at doing and some ideas that he can expound upon. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. So as I was beginning to tell you, and I actually ran out of time, and the depth of this is literally more than, you know, half a minute. This U.S. Senator from Mississippi, Josh Hawley, is going to investigate the big tech giants for censorship, as they are, as far as he's concerned, they're violating Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, in which the government gives immunity from being sued to tech companies in exchange for not censoring editorial content. Now, if you post your opinions and those types of things on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, what have you, that's you editorializing on the news. It's your opinion. And so the big tech monopolies should be stripped of their unfair advantage because, again, they are getting this immunity from being sued. So what should really happen, in my opinion, is this really needs to change in twofold. First, the federal government needs to unleash the states, and or the states need to take this back by the reins. Instead of allowing the federal government jurisdiction over this, every state should be doing this. That way that the tech companies won't have the ease of having to go to DC or just a couple of different federal courts. They're literally going to have to start sending a team of lawyers to every single state, and they're going to have to start defending some of their actions and what they're doing. And in addition to that, every state in the Republic should start. Now, listen to this. They need to start taxing social media for any and all revenues that they are making in their states. What that means is, and Facebook is an awesome example because there's lots of candidates that I know that bought Facebook ads to target those users of Facebook in these guys' legislative districts and so forth throughout the state and in different state type of pages and so forth. And so what is happening is Facebook is actually taking in revenue and doing targeted advertisements that are being conducted within that state. And they're not reporting those revenues and paying taxes on those revenues in that state because they happen to have a presence somewhere else. Well, if they're operating in that state, they're taking money to target people in that state, they should be paying corporate taxes in that state. They should also be charged a tax for ideological slants to incentivize them. So states actually should start charging them a tax for literally promoting and or having a slant if they want to be their own propaganda machine and not being neutral and providing an objective platform to allow everybody to, you know, present their own editorialized opinions or opine, as some would say, then they should be taxed because they're literally more of a propaganda machine. And I would say that if you really want to incentivize them to become a truly a neutral platform, you make that tax pretty significant. I mean, you make that tax so that it hurts. And so they say, ow, you know, okay, we're going to do everything we can to be as neutral as possible because that's, you know, how you incentivize people. There's two ways, right? There's the stick and then there's the carrot. And in some cases, when it's an ideological organization, they're operating on an ideological scheme or schema, then you have to kind of use that stick because there's no way you can a carrot incentivize them. Each state also needs to create a whistleblower reporting center, like a phone or what have you, and or an online presence, so that their users can actually start turning in these social media platforms of what has happened to them, why they got banned, and so forth, and allow the states to literally start engaging and going after and fining them for those types of behaviors. I will tell you that the social media may actually get to a point where the states are literally coming after them in such a magnitude that they're going to have a full-time large team of lawyers throughout all states just to try to defend their actions. They're going to recognize that becoming more transparent and more objective and open and neutral is the best business model to have because then they don't have to necessarily pay the fees, fines, or have to drag through the laborious efforts in trying to defend themselves in court. It's really that simple. I'm not sure if you've also noticed, I know a lot of people have been pointing out that the fact is that the UN is starting to show its iron fist as they came in. And so here's the question, though. We've seen these armored personnel carriers that have been identified to suppress the Yellow Vest Revolt. But here's the question. How'd they get there? Were they there on their own accord? In other words, did they invade France to get involved in this? I doubt it. I'll bet you anything Macron was definitely out there saying, hey, we need some help. Can you bring some of this stuff in, this military equipment? A lot of people are making the connection that literally here you have an EU that is starting to create an armed force. Some people are alluding to an army. I don't know. I would say this, though, that the elite leftists are literally, you know, recognizing that they have to use, because why can't France deal with their own folks? Why can't they actually suppress these types of revolutions? Or why is it that they can't avoid these types of things? Well, because they're going down these ideological paths. They have to put in these carbon taxes, because if they don't, then, you know, they're hypocrites. And they are hypocrites. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that they're actually going to the EU to say, we need to, you know, to help us kind of enforce some of these stupid globalist policies that we're all in bed with. We need you to help enforce that, because obviously they don't get the same level of support from their own forces or their own police enforcement or what have you. And so I'm sure that that's actually growing legs. Another thing, and I know this has happened for a while, this Huey Technologies, the ZTE 5G network, and how it's being banned, by the way, in Japan and possibly in Canada. Why we're not having the conversation of banning it here is something that's making me scratch my head. Why are we not trying to ban the 5G network? But more importantly, many of these new technologies and these global giants like Google, Apple, and so forth, they are also guilty of spying, just like ZTE and the Huey Technologies, or Huawei Technologies. As you know, was the CFO or the daughter of the Chinese Communist Party, Meng Wanzhou in Vancouver, as she was literally caught, and she was basically arrested, and we're trying to extradite her. There's been a lot of talk on this. Obviously, the DOJ has been working this, and obviously they've been trying to, go after somebody. But the fact that Canada was willing to get involved as well is kind of interesting, because you wouldn't think that Canada had been an ally the way Trudeau's been kind of acting. But apparently we still have some bond or some relations there with them. The fact is, are we actually going to be able to get her extradited, or is China going to be able to apply the pressure to have her released? If you didn't understand this, though, and I want you to really get this, because this goes back historically to the paradigm of China, that they believe that there are people that are of a high status, that are above the law. And I remember reading an article when we had, and I forget our senator that went there, but he was scoffed at and laughed at and ridiculed, and he got no respect from the Chinese people because he carried his own bag, because he didn't come with an entourage of people doing all of his work for him. They believe in like a caste system. They truly believe that there are people that are better than other people. And this Wanzhou family is one of those families that is above the fray. They're a part of the Chinese Communist Party, and this has placed incredible shame upon China. And literally, this is rocking, I believe, their culture and their class system, because, you know, you just don't do this. And they're going, oh my gosh, this is almost, I would even think that if you did the research with the nobodies, the peasants on the street in China, the people that aren't somebody, and you ask them, well, boy, is this something that you'd go to war for? They might even have that paradigm that this is such an insult that, yeah, they would go to war over this. I don't know. Another thing that kind of got out, and I'm not sure if you've heard this, but this is kind of interesting because this actually should scare you, because they're actually coming up with vaccines for bees. I don't know if you heard about this, but they're actually coming out with a vaccine for honeybees because of some honeybee problem. And I can't get into this right now, but when we come back from the break, I'll tell you why this is a bad thing. And it is a bad thing. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so there's an organization, I think it's called AmDam and FreeTech, and they're looking to try to save the bees via this vaccination. And I don't know who's going to pay for this. But one of the things that they go to selling this idea that they need to do this. Now, listen to this. A growing number of honeybees die each year due to pesticides, vanishing habitats, poor nutrition, and climate change, with potentially disastrous consequences for our agricultural diversity. How many of those things can we really affect? Now, we can affect pesticides, but what about vanishing habitats? How can we affect that? And how are they vanishing? That's a tough one, because most honeybees that I know of, at least in America, those are domesticated bees that are in beehives. So how are those habitats vanishing? The poor nutrition, is the quality of the flowers not the same? The point is, and this is a really bad thing, because whenever humans get involved in trying to solve some problem with Mother Nature, we really mess it up. These people should be stopped, and they shouldn't be allowed. We're better off either trying to stop the pesticides, we're better off trying to change our behavior than it is trying to inject ourselves into Mother Nature. Every time I have seen this happen, it's become a big problem. I remember, I believe it was Guam, and any Guamanians out there can correct me. I believe Guam had a rodent problem. And so what they did was they went and brought in some brown snakes to go after the rodents. And now they have a brown snake problem. And they have a disappearing, you know, other creatures, not just the rodents. So what ends up happening is when we try to, you know, mess with the balance of Mother Nature, we literally cause problems within Mother Nature itself and create an imbalance in another direction or what have you. Another great example is the wolves. We do not have a shortage of wolves. We have an excess of wolves. And we need, actually, I remember growing up in the Pacific Northwest, and it was safe to go almost anywhere because wolves stayed away. I mean, they were way out there. And now they're actually very close to people. They're attacking, you know, people's pets. They're, you know, they've attacked people, killing livestock and so forth. We need to try to leave Mother Nature alone and try to be a good steward, but we shouldn't be introducing predators in back into our environment. In most cases, we've been doing just fine. In all cases, as a matter of fact, we've been doing just fine without having to reinsert wolves into the hills, the foothills, the Cascades, and so forth. That has caused more problems. And who do you sue? I mean, when you get you lose livestock or you're attacked by a wolf, you sue the government or these do-good agencies? This is ludicrous. I mean, we shouldn't be in this space at all in having these types of problems being addressed by people. Before I get into it, I do want to mention one thing. If you haven't heard, Yellen is starting to tell us that we're set up for a crisis because they don't have the tools necessary in dealing with a potential meltdown. So that is what it is. I've got to do more of the research and talking to some economists. But, you know, if you've been watching the economy, or I should say the market, as it's vacillated back and forth and it's been reeling, well, there's always been manipulation to favor certain big players. And it's always been that way. And regardless of what type, the one thing that they could do is they could actually put those checks back in that Bill Clinton took out. I forget what they were. It was the act that actually put those in way back in, I think, 1929, that actually kept the market from really tumbling too much and kept what it did is it made it so that one house couldn't do all things. So you were either an insurance, you were a bank, and or you were a securities. You couldn't do all three different roles and create these super houses. And when Clinton relaxed those standards, he allowed that to occur. And that's what happens when you have, you know, that ability. At least that's how it was identified. And we've actually existed pretty good and pretty stable without a real calamity. And Yellen is telling us that we're due to having a big calamity. So what does she know? I mean, right? She's been fired and she's no longer a Fed chair. Anywho, what I want to get into, because this has been a big topic, and I know that this has come up for a lot of people regarding the militia and the guarantee clause. And so in the ratification debates, they actually talked a lot about this because it has to do with the domestic tranquility and the domestic use of the militia. And so more specifically, I'm going to jump to Article 4, Section 4. When James Madison talked about this, this was June 16th, 1788. Again, this is the Virginia ratification debates. And before I read this, let me ask you this. is the words that I'm going to read from James Madison, are these the words of lies and deceit, or what we've been taught in our education system, what we hear in the news, what we hear from these progressives, are those the words of lies and deceit? I'll let you be the judge. This is what he says. The fourth section of the fourth article is perfectly consistent with the exercise of the power by the states. The words are, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislator cannot be convened against domestic violence. The word invasion here after power had been given in the form clause to repeal invasions. It may be thought tautologous, and what he means is repetitious, but it has a different meaning from the other. This clause speaks of a particular state. It means that it shall be protected from invasion by other states. A republican form of government is guaranteed to each state. And they are to be protected from invasion from other states as well as from foreign powers. And on application by the legislature or executive, as the case may be, the militia of the other states are to be called to suppress domestic insurrections. Does this bar the states from calling forth their own militia? No. But it gives them a supplementary security to suppress insurrections and domestic violence. Now, I know I've had these conversations with a lot of people, and so one of the things that would just literally jump out, and I'm going to concede on this because this is the correct version, or I should say how we would envision this clause in protecting the states from invasion. The southern states were, in the Civil War, invaded by the northern states. If you understand the meaning of Civil War means that you have two factions that are trying to seek control. That wasn't the case in our Civil War. It really wasn't a Civil War. Some people call it a war of northern aggression. The facts are what they are. The North did go into and invade the South. They invaded the South with hostilities and domestic violence. These were insurrections. So the question is, what do you do when the federal government is responsible for those insurrections and domestic violence? That's a bad one. But as I've argued the Civil War with other folks, the real problem was that we still, and most people said, well, we would have gotten rid of slavery on its own. No, we should have gotten rid of slavery when we stood up the Republic. I believe, and I still assert this, and if you go and read the constitutional debates from Madison's notes, it was in August when Georgia and the Carolinas decided that if they were to ban slavery, that those three states would leave. And I am on the record to say that they should have let them go. Those three southern states would have been then their safety valve for the Spanish in the South. And if they chose to hold on to their slavery, then that would be it. There would be probably a rush for the United States to start acquiring the land to the southwest of them, going down into Mississippi and Alabama to ensure that those territories would be slave-free, eradicate slavery, and kind of, you know, literally cap it off right there. The Northwest Ordinance in 1787 was literally supposed to do that, that the slave trade would not be, permeate outside the existing states, that it would be capped off there, and that the rest of the United States would be free states. Because that's what Jefferson designed in the original Northwest Ordinance. So my argument is that they made a big political miscalculation. They should have ended it right there. Where would America be had they done that? Huh? But this actually goes into context with the invasion that is currently happening. When you see caravans coming through Mexico to say, we're coming, America, and you got to take us. Regardless of what kind of invasion force it is a force that says we're going to overrun you. And we will talk more about that when we get back from the break. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so let me continue on because, I guess I need to close my thought there. I stated that had we let Georgia and the Carolinas leave and not be a part of the Union, then that would have been probably the preferable path, because then this United States would have been a state of freedom for all, and that we would have recognized those core principles that were identified in the Declaration of Independence. And I believe that most of the things that we're dealing with today would probably not be as exacerbated. Does that mean that we still wouldn't have had the Jim Crow laws and those types of things? No. And I'll say that because there was such a thing as the Democratic Party, who has always been divisive in doing those things. You got to remember that the KKK was an active front for the Democrats. The fact is that the Jim Crow laws and all of these oppressions, if you go to Black and White Media, I think it's blackandwhitemedia.com. It's Bob Parks's website. He has a very good, he lays out the history of racial inequality and racial problems because of the Democratic Party, and he lays out the whole history of all the things that they have done in trying to maintain racism in America. And so I think that we would have avoided the Civil War. We may have had another skirmish in dealing with the Carolinas and Georgia, because what would have ended up happening, I believe, because those three states would have been left on their own. They would have had to have created an alliance or something like that. And the Monroe Doctrine probably would have came further, and it maybe would have been called the Jefferson Doctrine or the Adams Doctrine, because I don't think it would be too far out the gate where those three states would try to create an alliance because they were desperate in trying to maintain slavery. And so it would have forced the northern states to then engage in a war with these three states, probably with whomever they sought an ally with. Maybe it would have been Britain. Maybe it would have been Spain. Maybe it would have been France. Those were the three major players in this hemisphere at that point in time. And so I think it would have been a very doable thing that we would have ended up going in there and, repelling whatever they were trying to do in aggravating us. And I think that would have probably ended it and would have forced them to get rid of slavery. You got to remember, though, that, and it was pointed out, and everybody understands this, that Eli Whitney really galvanized slavery because of the cotton gin, because it was literally going to become one of those crops that we were just not going to be, it was just not affordable to maintain, but the cotton gin made it possible for us to maintain and grow cotton. And there you go. And so we were kind of doomed by that invention. I believe Eli Whitney, I think that was in Maryland or maybe Virginia, but I'm pretty sure it was Maryland where he invented that. Nevertheless, let me move on. George Nicholas also kind of expounds upon this as well. He says, but an argument is drawn from that clause which says that no state shall engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. What does this prohibition amount to? It must be a war with a foreign enemy that the states are prohibited from making? For the exception to the restriction proves it. The restriction includes only offensive hostility, as they are at liberty to engage in war when invaded or in imminent danger. They are therefore not restrained from quelling domestic insurrections, which are totally different from making war with a foreign power. But the great thing to be dreaded is that during an insurrection, the militia will be called out from the state. This is his kind of argument. Is it possible that at such a time, the general government would order the militia to be called? It is a groundless objection to work on gentlemen's apprehensions within these walls. As to the fourth article, it was introduced wholly for the particular aid of the states. A republican form of government is guaranteed and protection is secured against invasion and domestic violences on application. Is not this guard as strong as possible? Does it not exceed the necessary interference of Congress in businesses of this sort? Now, you're not getting the anti-federalist comments because I'm just trying to literally help, because these comments are the comments that are helping sell this Constitution. You cannot include, you can include them for the argument's sake and for understanding the clarity of why they were going back and forth and arguing. But the anti-federalist comments, because they were rejected, they really hold no merit. If a state had failed and refused to ratify, then you could go through the anti-federalist comments and it would have been their comments and their arguments that would have carried more weight in the outcome of the ratification. I hope this makes sense. But because this state actually ratified the Constitution, then we go by how they were describing and explaining, you know, the Constitution during the ratification process. Mr. Pendleton takes this a step further, and this is on June 16th as well, on 1788. So on June 16th, they were talking a lot about the guarantee clause, and more particularly, the protections that are guaranteed as well. And he says, I think the fair construction is directly opposite to what the honorable member says. The fourth section of the fourth article contains nothing to warrant the supposition that the states cannot call them forth to suppress domestic insurrections. All the restraint here contained is that Congress may, at their pleasure, on application of the state's legislature or in vacation of the executive, protect each of the states against domestic violence. This is a restraint on the general government not to interpose. The state is in full possession of the power of using its own militia to protect itself against domestic violence. And the power in the general government cannot be exercised or interposed without the application of the state itself. This appears to me to be obvious and fair construction. Now, what's really important here is that they are not talking about sheriffs. They're not talking about police departments. They're not talking about Bureau of Land Management or any other government executive agency here. What they're talking about is the militia. A well-organized and regulated militia is necessary for the defense of the states to, you know, for keep maintaining, domestic harmony and tranquility. And so if we look at how we're dealing with these caravans coming from the South, and you see these guys in black with all the, you know, bulletproof vests and the, you know, the shields around their face and all this protection and so forth, this militarized enforcement group. It's not the militia, is it? So the Constitution was really clear that it was to be the militia that is supposed to be dealing with these invasions. Now, I can get into the 14th Amendment and talk about how, you know, we're not supposed to be supporting any of these folks, and how, and I've talked about this before, how I believe that we have with these progressives, anybody that's standing up saying we have to have open borders to allow these people in, we got to do this. If you read the 14th Amendment, it's pretty clear that people that are supporting that type of an invasion and so forth should be, you know, unable to hold office and should be removed from office. And that the fact that they're probably committing a crime such as treason against the Constitution. But I won't get into that now. The whole point that I'm trying to make is, if we're not to be using the militia in dealing with domestic violence, insurrections, invasions, and what have you, then they have to change or amend the Constitution to basically state that we're going to militarize law enforcement. We're going to militarize your sheriff, and that they will be the tip of the spear in repelling these invasions. They will be the tip of the spear in holding back against domestic violence and civil unrest and that sort of thing. But that's not what's happening. We're not using the militia. They didn't amend the Constitution. So what we're seeing is an arbitrary and a tyrannical assertion of power with an unconstitutional agency that is getting involved in asserting some levels of protection that the Constitution guarantees us, but it's not the mechanism and how it's supposed to be done. If you read Article 1, Section 8, and I believe it's subsection 16, it talks about the importance of the militia and Congress maintaining and training and equipping these folks. We need to start looking at this, and we will as we move forward in the future, but I am out of time. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.